I've seen a few of those gray wolves, and they are intimidating just because of their size. This is Chicago's Afternoon News. I'm Lisa Densty, Bertrand, Kevin, Mary. We're all here. And as you know, wolves are doing just fine in some areas. Do we need more? Well, that's what our next guest is going to talk about. Bill Ripple is a professor of ecology at Oregon State University in the Department of Forest Ecosystems and Society. And you want more gray wolves, right?
Yes, we do. As scientists, we're trying to put forth the best conservation science. And right now, gray wolves, their numbers are just a small fraction of what they were historically before humans started wiping them out.
And so I've seen wolves in Minnesota. Those aren't gray wolves. Is that a different breed?
Yes, the wolves in Minnesota are gray wolves, and the wolves out west are gray wolves. It's all the same species, and sometimes they're called timber wolves, especially back east, but it's all the same. And the wolves in northern Minnesota are doing quite well, and they've never were extirpated or removed from northern Minnesota, and they are the ranchers and farmers are getting along pretty well with them. They're used to it. But out west, it's new since the 1990s, and we're growing through some growing pains on how to live with wolves. They can be difficult to live with, as you know, but they are magnificent creatures. They're native species, and they are considered keystone species, where they have these strong effects on the environment. They sit on top of the food chain, so they affect lots of other species.
Was there a point, Bill, where they were near extinct?
Yes. They not as a species, because gray wolves are found throughout Canada and Alaska and Europe and Asia. But they were nearly wiped out in the lower 48 states by the early 1900s. By the 1930s, there were just a few gray wolves left near Glacier Park in the west. And then, as I said earlier, the wolves in northern Minnesota have been around all the time, you know, early on in the history and more recently.
Yeah, we tend to see them more recently. You know, they seem to be, you know, at least visible, where I never had a chance to see a gray wolf before. But it's something to see, because at first you're like, is that a deer from a long distance? And as you get closer, you're like, no, but it's something the size of a deer. They're really immense sized animals, and they need a large space in which to live, right?
Yes, gray wolves have a huge home range, and they require lots of habitat. They need to have areas where there's plenty of prey, like deer and elk, for them to eat, and not too many busy highways, and not too much persecution by humans. When they have those conditions, then they do quite well. They're a very social animal, and they're they don't pose much of a threat to humans directly. It's extremely rare for wolves to attack humans, with wild wolves out in nature to attack a human. But they will
take farm animals, right? They'll take sheep, they'll take cattle, they'll take farm animals, and that's where you run into an issue when ranchers and farmers don't want to see those types of losses based on a wolf. And isn't it true that if they take a sheep or they take a, you know, any kind of cattle, that they'll keep coming back because it's easy pickings?
They can. Those wolves can get to be a problem, and when they're habituated to farm animals, and so there can be problem wolves, but there are methods to deal with those kinds of situations. So sometimes they have to be taken out. Other times there's compensation for the farmers and ranchers. So it just depends. One thing, though, that I want to stress is that the actual numbers aren't very high. The numbers of livestock that are taken by wolves in this country is relatively low. livestock are much more commonly die from disease than predators. And in terms of predators, wolves only kill a fraction of what coyotes kill in terms of farm animals. So I think it's important to put it in perspective. But as I said earlier, they can be a little bit difficult to live with. But one thing that I'm noticing is the American public in general, especially the folks that live in cities, are just in love with these animals. So some people really love them, and others hate them. That's how it's been with this iconic species from the beginning of time, I think.
Somebody just sent in a text, and they were talking about what the gray wolves did for Yellowstone, how they improved the environment because they're strong predators. Is there truth to that, and what did they do that improved things at Yellowstone?
Well, that's kind of coincidental, because I was one of the researchers that broke that story in over 20 years ago, and that is where we were studying aspen trees in Yellowstone, and they were declining, and we couldn't understand why. So we looked at the tree rings, and we determined that the last aspen regenerated around the 1920s. And that's when I looked and saw that's exactly the same time that gray wolves were killed off in Yellowstone Park. So that at that point, we developed this hypothesis that wolves affect aspen trees and a lot more. So and that the way that works is wolves prey on herbivores or the elk, and the elk eat the young aspen sprouts or the very young trees. So therefore, indirectly, the wolves help the trees.
Mm, interesting. Yeah, because if they're not taking down the elk, then the elk are eating all the trees and there's no trees left. I know there's such a connection. So what do you see happening? We've got about 45 seconds left in the next 5 years or 10 years to reintroduce larger wolf populations into those states where they have dwindled or no longer exist.
Yes, well, there. I think that's a good question, and we'll have to see how it plays out. But for example, the voters of Colorado have voted to bring wolves back into the state of Colorado, and they are making plans right now to reintroduce wolves into that state, into the mountains of western Colorado. So each state will be different, and what we're trying to do is just put out the best conservation science, kind of as a blueprint. If you really want healthy ecosystems that are resilient to climate change, and you want to protect threatened and endangered species, think about the gray wolves as an umbrella species that can be used to really improve environmental health. So I think we've got lots of interesting things to look forward to and lots of possibilities. A lot of it will depend on political will.
That's usually what it boils down to. Thank you for joining us, Bill Ripple, professor of ecology at Oregon State University in the Department of Forest Ecosystems and Society. And consider it a magical moment if you see one of these creatures, because they have no interest in us. But boy, good luck catching one on camera. They're pretty fast and pretty elusive, but they're gorgeous. Steve has your news coming up next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. WGN.